Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. How do you obey a command like this? Loving people like God loves people is such a hard thing that it requires an incredibly powerful motivation. Jesus gives us a motive that is enough to move us to love anyone. Actually, he gives us two motivations in this text. First one comes in verse 45. He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. The motivation for being like that, moving toward a broken, hard relationship to reconcile rather than retreating and running away, the motivation is the promise that in doing so, I will be acting like a son of God. And the fact that we are already sons of God is what makes this possible. This isn't so that you can become a Christian. He's already your father here, so you're already sons, and that's what makes this possible. The fact that you're already a son. We ought to love our enemies in the same way a peach ought to be sweet, right? It's the living out of what God designed us to be. The temptation is always to think, I'm just not capable of this. This is just too hard. I can't do it. That's like a hammer missing a nail and saying, I just don't know if I'm cut out for driving nails. You're cut out for it. You're made for it. Your new nature was designed by God for this kind of love. It's in you. As believers, we're already his sons and daughters. But the more we act in ways that are consistent with sonship, with our status as sons and daughters, the more we can experience the fatherhood of God in a greater and greater way. So that's one motivation that we have in this text for why we should love this way. The thing that's going to make us able to do this kind of love is the fact that in doing so, we're acting like sons and daughters, which means we'll have a greater experience of God as our Father. A second motive that we're given here is reward. Verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? The implication of that is you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be like the tax collectors because they're not going to get any reward. Which means the only things that are worth doing in this life are things that you're going to be rewarded for. And we'll get into that. You know, the whole next section of the Sermon on the Mount is all about reward. And so I'm not going to say much this morning about reward, except in this context, I'll say the only love that's appropriate is the kind of love that God rewards. And there's a special emphasis in Scripture between loving enemies and reward. That's emphasized in Scripture. You see it in the Old Testament, Proverbs 25:21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. So many commands in Scripture that reward isn't mentioned, or it's only vague, or it's implied. Here, just so direct, the Lord will reward you. Why the emphasis? Why underline that? I believe one reason why reward is emphasized so much in connection with enemy love is because we need that. Because enemy love always involves loss. That's why we're reluctant to do it. And we saw that back in verses 39 to 42, right? If someone feels wronged by you and would like to sue you, showing love to that person might mean giving them more even than what they're asking for. That's going to cost you money. If they insult you, love will require you to turn the other cheek. That's going to cost you some dignity. If an authority requires something of you, love might require that you give more than what's mandated. That's going to cost you some freedom. If somebody commandeers 40 minutes of your time, love might require that you give 80 minutes. That's going to cost you some time. So loving enemies is always costly. It always costs you something. At the very least, it at least for sure costs you the right to get some revenge. Or the right to hang on to some bitterness, which can sometimes feel like the greatest loss of all. That's something we don't want to let go of. There's something in us that loves to cling to anger and resentment. We just don't want to let go of it. If someone hurts us, our heart just wraps around a grudge like a python around its prey. And you hold it so tight, and if somebody tries to pry your fingers loose from that anger, everything in you resists. You want to hang on to it. It's a strange, strange kind of a sin because it doesn't even offer you any pleasure. There's no pleasure involved, and yet we refuse to let it go. Our heart just digs in its heels and says, they hurt me. I am not going to let go of that. Something inside you just wants to hang on to that grudge, and loving your enemy is going to cost you that grudge. You're going to have to let go of it. It costs. And you get nothing in return. You just let go of it, and it's just gone. Sometimes we hold a grudge over someone as a kind of a deposit, you know, waiting, kind of forcing that person to make things right. I'm going to stay cool towards you until you say you're sorry. I'm going to use this to force you to change. And we won't let go of our bitterness. We'll let go only in exchange for that person confessing his sin, doing something to make things right. So we're keeping it as leverage, but love requires that you give it up for nothing. For nothing. You get nothing in return, and now you have no bargaining chip at all, no leverage at all. It's just loss. It's just a loss. That's why we're reluctant to do it. We don't want to love because of what we're going to lose. We can't even conceive of losing it. It might be as small as losing face, or losing an argument, or losing your chance to get in the last word, or something, or it might be losing your life. But always, loving enemies involves loss. And that's why it's so hard for us. And so God, in His grace, promises us reward for it. He says, don't worry about what you're going to lose. Whatever you lose, I will more than repay you. That's the promise of reward. What a gracious God. Any time obeying or serving God costs you anything, God will pay you back times 10,000. Working for God, you don't lose anything, ultimately.
So last time I asked you to think of someone you have a strained relationship with or who's hard for you to love, and I suggested you think through your sonship, the fact that you are a child of God, and the fact that you were created to resemble God as a motivation to help you love that person, to help you love like God loves. Now, today, use this second motivation. Ask yourself, what am I afraid of losing when it comes to forgiving that person or showing kindness to that person or being willing to warmly greet that person? What am I afraid of losing? It might be nothing more than just the satisfaction of holding a grudge. Whatever it is, preach to your soul about the fact that if you were just willing to suffer that loss, if you would do it, if you just suffer that loss, let go, God will make it worth your while. Guaranteed.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.